Good evening, everyone. As introduced, I'm Roger Hargreaves, the Director of Maritime at the Department for Transport. I think I'll begin by thanking the organisers for putting on this evening's event. From my simple point of view, sitting in the civil service, it is a welcome respite from anything to do with Brexit. And it is also an excellent opportunity to talk about the work that we've been doing on Maritime 2050, which we believe is a very important contribution to the future of the maritime sector, and hopefully a very strong statement of intent on the part of the government about how we see the sector and how we would like to grow it. So let me start by saying a few words about why we alighted on having a maritime strategy in the first place. I took this job up about 2 years ago, and I didn't have any background in the maritime sector, and so I arrived in post to a whole slew of surprises. And one of them, the most significant surprise from my point of view, was that we didn't have a plan. Now, I've always been firmly of the view that you have to have a plan in life for almost everything that you do. And maritime didn't have one. And it struck me as surprising because the centre is so visibly, obviously critical to the economy, critical to the life of the nation, that the UK not having a long-range plan was a genuine surprise. And I'd worked in a number of different infrastructure areas, and all those other areas had long-range forecasts, long-range plans, a really clear sense of what the government was trying to achieve. And there just wasn't such a thing when it came to maritime. And I know that people complain that civil servants move around all the time and don't bring expertise to jobs, but I think the one thing it does bring, can bring, is the benefit of the exchange of ideas. And I looked at other sectors and how they benefited from a clear, strong partnership between government and the private sector, and a clear long-range vision for what the country was trying to achieve, and thought maritime could really benefit from that. And ministers absolutely agreed. The other thing that was very clear to me was that doing nothing was not an option, because the cold, hard truth about UK maritime is that we have enjoyed a relatively steady 100-year period of decline. And we don't really see that because we started from such a remarkable position of strength. But actually, the UK is facing some very, very significant challenges. You know, trade is growing, global population is growing, and that drives so much maritime activity. But there is a dramatic, relentless shift eastwards in the global economy. And climate change presents new challenges, and there is lots and lots of disruptive technology on the horizon which has the potential to fundamentally shift how the sector works. So from the point of view of the department, this was, when thought about properly, a bit of a no-brainer, and we embarked on the process of developing a strategy with the intention of setting out a really, really clear long-range plan for the UK for the maritime sector. And that is pretty much what we feel we have ended up with when we published this earlier in the year. We wanted to put something out there that set out a strong long-range vision, but one that was both a framework, a kind of conceptual, intellectual framework, but also a route map, not just warm words, but concrete proposals for how we would go about delivering the kind of changes that we wanted to see. And we've got a strategy now which is built around seven themes: competitive advantage, so effectively the UK as a place to do business; infrastructure, particularly our ports and the connectivity of our ports; people, where the UK traditionally has had an incredibly strong position, but needs to work hard to maintain it; trade, which is obviously the lifeblood of the maritime sector; security, because that gives you the freedom to trade; and environment and technology, which we saw as having the potential to be the biggest disruptors to the sector in a very, very long time. And we did it, and we developed it in a way which was grounded in partnerships. We spent a year talking to hundreds, in fact thousands of people across the sector about what they thought. And that in itself was an interesting process, because certainly the maritime sector was far less used to dealing with government in a way in which I'd seen in other infrastructure sectors that were perhaps more dependent on government funding or had a closer relationship with government over time. So there was a bit of a journey with the sector, and when we first talked about it, there was some scepticism, and there wasn't necessarily a deep reservoir of thoughts about where the sector should go in a kind of structured whole sector way, but obviously lots of very detailed, smart thinking about individual organisations, individual businesses. And again, this was slightly odd from what I'd experienced in other sectors. My last job was in the rail sector, And in rail, the world is full of people with bright ideas about the rail sector, how it should work, its long-range direction. Lots of people who know everything about trains have lots of conversations for you about freight paths or about rail routes or about lines that were once open and should be reopened. There's an almost endless supply of people who are thinking deep thoughts about the rail sector. And so someone said to me, a senior figure within the maritime sector, he said, the problem is we don't have this so much in the maritime sector. He said, we have a lot of big parties. But I imagine if you took a tennis ball and you threw it across one of those big parties, there must be at least some risk you're not going to hit an intellectual. And I thought about this and thought, well, this is a funny thing, but we need to work to bring people who are thinking about the maritime sector, even if not front and centre of the community, to bring them to the fore. So one of the other things we did was convene an expert panel, people who were known to be thinkers about the sector or who were on the edges of the sector but were engaged in thinking in that way about public policy. So that injected a fresh sense of challenge into the process. But all of these things together, the wide consultation, the discussions, the challenge, took us to a place where at the start of this year we had a strategy which was comprehensive and was radical in places, but was measured in the sense that it was grounded firmly in the realities of the sector and what the sector thought was achievable. So in terms of what we say in the strategy, not all of you will have read all 300-odd pages of it. Some of you will have read the beautiful executive summary. We talk a bit about core values. We talk about the idea that there are things in which the UK maritime sector is grounded and represent not just maritime as a sector in its own right, but also maritime as one of the key ways in which the UK interfaces with the world as a whole. So amongst our core values, the idea that the UK must represent a premium brand. In a global economy that's shifting in its dynamics, the UK has to stand for something, and being a premium brand rather than competing endlessly and potentially fruitlessly on price seems to us a more sensible way to go. We talk about the balance between security and prosperity and sustainability. There are some maritime powers across the world who abandon one or two of those things in pursuit of the other. But for the UK, in line with our wider public policy, sustainability and prosperity and security have to go hand in hand. We talk about a global approach and a rules-based approach because that is how the UK sees itself. It's easy in the maritime sector to get an edge by playing fast and loose with the rules, and we didn't want the UK to be positioned in that way. And the final core value we talk about is the partnership with industry, because this is fundamentally a sector driven by private concerns, not driven by government. Government might at one point have had a really active role in our maritime life, but it's many, many generations ago, and any vestige of that intervention fell away a couple of generations ago. So it's about a partnership between government and industry. Strategy, based on the seven themes I mentioned earlier, sets out strategic ambitions. And those strategic ambitions and the core values in combination make that kind of framework for thinking about our maritime future. But the other point is the one I mentioned in relation to having a route map, a way forward, some specific things, not just warm words, but an absolute plan. And so the strategy contains many recommendations, short-term, medium-term, long-term. Now, those short-term recommendations are things that we are pursuing now and over the next 5 years as an immediate plan of action. The medium-term sets out our expectations, what we think the UK maritime sector should be trying to achieve. And the longer term, well, that is more of a set of ambitions, but nevertheless, it frames the direction of travel. It gives those people who are looking to the longer term, whether in the context of wider public policy, whether in the context of investment, a sense that there is a purpose and a vision and there is something we are working towards, and that gives people something to work with. So why did we think that it was so important in the context of our strategy, amongst all these other themes and these other subjects, to have a really strong story about science and technology and innovation? Well, I think we were very conscious that the UK's maritime story is fundamentally intertwined with the UK's progress as a technological and innovative power, and vice versa. That the UK had to be so focused on maritime, what was, you know, a hugely complex sector. Navies are much more complicated things to deliver than armies, for example. You need a huge industrial hinterland to make these things happen. And as the UK's naval power, maritime power, amplified its industrial power, and again, vice versa, It became something which was integral to how we saw maritime and the relationship between maritime and society as a whole. So we see science and technology as a kind of historical glue in terms of the UK's long-standing maritime interests and power. But we are also clear, in the strategy, that it is a fundamental component of the UK's maritime future. Because when we look at where the UK is strong, where its competitive advantage lies, it is in areas like thought leadership, its academic base, its research base, the clusters of activity built around key ports, key universities, other institutions, key businesses. And people look to the UK still as a powerhouse when it comes to science and technology. And so combining our reputation and our strength as a leading maritime nation with our reputation and strength as a leading nation when it comes to science and technology struck us as central to whatever story we tell about arresting the UK's maritime decline and putting us on a path to remain in the front rank of maritime nations. So we tell, in Maritime 2050, a technology story. We talk about the future of shipping. Now, it was interesting. As soon as we began this exercise, we were inundated with people who wanted to tell us about robot ships or variants on robot ships. And they were going to be the future, and you wouldn't require crews and so on and so forth. And then more and more people came to us and they tried to tell us about different kinds of technology, and if only we could say something nice in our document about their technology and their business, that would be wonderful. And this is not uncommon when it comes to drafting government strategies, but we tested the point. What does the future of shipping look like? For many people, shipping is the heartbeat of maritime, and the ships of the future, and the ships, you know, the ships of the past tell their own story. The ships of the future will frame what the future looks like. And so we talk about the future of shipping and we talk about the ways in which it might develop. But what we're also conscious of, is that we have to give shipping the freedom to develop in the direction it wants to. So one of the things we do discuss is creating the test beds, creating the regulatory environments to allow people to bring forward more autonomy and more AI in the shipping context. Not because we're prescriptive about it, but the UK has to be an environment in which that kind of technology can flourish. We look in the strategy quite a lot about ports and infrastructure and the technology associated with those. And we talk about the way in which ports in the UK and around the world are developing to make more use of technology and to remove some of the interactions which have classically characterised ports and instead become much more part of an end-to-end process. Because one of the points that we pull out is this idea about end-to-end logistics, that people can sometimes look at maritime from the perspective of their part of maritime, just ports or shipping or whatever else. But the trend in transport in the round is for end-to-end services, that people care less about the ship that their goods are on or the port that they go through, and more that they get from A to B in a seamless way. And I think we also heard a really strong message from the big operators of shipping and from ports operators that they themselves had a different sense of what the future would hold in terms of their relationship with their infrastructure and their assets. And it was more about getting the most from it through the use of big data, through the use of digitalisation, through a slightly more, on one level, slightly more remote relationship, but on another hand, an even more controlling and well understood relationship with those assets. And from our point of view in government, we just have to allow that the space to develop. But we also have to do what other sectors do so well and create test beds and environments and look to provide funding or support for those people at the cutting edge so they are able to develop with a degree of freedom, you know, just set back a little bit from some of the usual commercial pressures. Because when we looked around the world at our competitors, that was the kind of thing they were doing, and we think we've got even more strength in the UK to take that further and faster. The other important point we looked at on the technology side was the area of communication and navigation and exploration. Now, there are a lot of people with a romantic notion of the sea and a sense that the sea is a place of exploration and a vector through which we travel to far-flung lands. But actually, we understood too that whilst that was always going to be a central component of the maritime story, there was something about the sea itself and exploiting the sea and what it had to bring. The idea that over time, the value of a square mile of sea has gone up and up and up as it moves away from being something where, you know, there are some bits of the world that you can navigate successfully, but lots of it you can't, to ships and navigational methods which allow you to go further and to different places and so on. That you can exploit the sea in different ways. that you look to the, you know, you look to what you can get from underneath the seabed, you look to the oil and gas industry, you look to seabed mining, you look to seabed mapping, you look to other forms of exploitation, and you get the sense that there is another world to be explored there. And that was one of the most important messages we got through on the technology side. It was not just about the way in which the maritime sector had worked in the past, but it was the opportunities that arose as a consequence of these new areas of innovation and activity that were going to change and expand the sector too. So we have this strategy, and we have a story, and we have a clear technology component within that. The final thing I wanted to say was just to pull us back to something I said at the start. We pursued this strategy because we were convinced that doing nothing was not an option. And you might read our strategy and you might not agree with it all. And we've tried to cover everybody's ground within the sector, but it's a big sector and some people feel like we might not have done everything we should have done. But doing nothing was not an option, and government has done something. And the intention is that we've moved, or we move from a world where we don't have a strategy to a world where we do have a strategy. And in that binary sense, it feels from our point of view, and I hope from your point of view, like it is a really big step forward. We are determined, absolutely, to maintain the UK in the front rank of maritime nations. And, thinking about our theme tonight, to retain the UK's place in the front rank of nations on the technology side of things in the world of maritime. But the government is absolutely trying to deliver that. The strategy is about delivering that. And I very much look forward in the course of this evening to discussing your thoughts on whether you agree with me. Thank you.